I'm going to take them in number 633. Number 633.
You know, a lot of what happens to us and the way we respond to it, it has a lot to do with kind of the way we look at it. There was an old song about rose-colored glasses, about how this particular person was going to look through rose-colored glasses and see only the good things and not see the bad things. How we look at things really is important, and it really can affect us. And so what I want us to talk about today is just this. How is it that we look at life? How is it that we look at the circumstances of life and sort of interpret the way things happen, the way things come to pass? I want us to just look at a couple of verses to kind of help set the stage this morning. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 tells us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. It's this very idea that something inside of us can affect the way we see things. Keep your heart with all diligence. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, this verse says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. So it tells us that the heart can harbor evil things. It can have evil thoughts that are inside of it. So the first verse says, keep your heart, protect it, because your heart could become so vile and wicked that there would be evil things that would come out of it. And then we know so much about the verses that talk about how we should really leave the past behind, leave sin behind, and we should walk after good things. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So that the flesh would have us tied down, and we would be sort of stuck in doing things that are not right. And if we would walk after the Spirit, we would fulfill the will of God, and we would be able to be stronger. And I want us to kind of imagine two opposites when it comes to our thinking. Are we focused on the flesh? Are we self-centered in our lives? Or are we focused on living after the Spirit? Are we Christ-centered? Are we God-centered in our lives? Let's look at a couple of verses to help us better understand that. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, this passage says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. This tells us a lot of good things, but it says, whatsoever you do, do it unto God. Don't do it unto men. Don't do it to yourself, to please yourself, to be self-centered and self-serving. But listen to this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. This verse gives all the credit for every single thing that happens to God and to Jesus Christ. It says there's one God, everything is by Him, and there's one Lord Jesus Christ, and we are by Him. So that is the center of everything. And if we can embrace that verse, we'll know that He is the center of our life. So we want to talk about things in terms of being self-centered today versus being God-centered. And I want you to understand that there is a trap that we can get into, and if we are self-centered in our lives, we can get stuck in this trap and just stay here and never be able to grow. So let's elaborate a little bit, and let's begin to develop this thought a little bit. Now just imagine, if we are self-centered, the Word tells us immediately, right off the bat, what it is that we are. We're focused on ourselves. Everything's about me. It's all about me. I'm going to talk to you about me. I'm not going to listen to you talk about yourself. I'm going to be focused on me, and I'm going to want other folks to be focused on me. It's all about me. The whole world revolves around me. But here, Christ-centered, it's not about me. Nothing's about me. It's about Jesus Christ being alive inside of me. And you know what? Jesus Christ came to this earth, and God being on earth, and He was a servant. He came with a mindset of serving others. of doing good to others. We can look at all the different episodes throughout the New Testament, and he would talk to people and he would ask them about themselves. He would talk to them and try to help them. And we remember there at the Last Supper, he washed the feet of his disciples. A lowly task. He wasn't focused on himself. He was focused on God and the mission that he was trying to accomplish. In Numbers chapter 15 and verse 39, in this particular passage, God is trying to remind the people to focus on him at all times. And he wants them to broaden the hems of their garments and to take a blue ribbon and to weave into the hem of their garment. And this verse says, "And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember the commandments of the Lord and to do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring." This verse says, I want you to do something on your clothes so that when you see it, you remember me, you remember my commandments, so that you can stay focused on me, because I don't want you focusing on your own heart or going after the desires of your own heart, because this is going to lead you into sin. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 34 and 35, "And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Friends, are we going to save our life and do all the things that we want to do and make ourselves happy and try to do everything that would please us? Or will we leave that behind and seek after Jesus Christ and do those things that would be pleasing in His sight? And friends, if we will do that, we will save ourselves in the life that is to come. But Jesus also said, "I came that you should have life, and that you should have it more abundantly." If we could focus on Him, friends, He will reward us in ways that right now we can't understand and certainly wouldn't appreciate as long as we're self-centered. Alright, so we've begun to develop our thoughts. You can see how these two sides are opposite. If we're self-centered, then we are not Christ-centered. Well, let's just look and see if we can develop this a little bit more. If we're self-centered, we've already said it, everything's about me, right? Everything. Whatever's going to happen, it's all about me. And so we start to kind of develop some false hopes. We think that certain things are going to happen to us. It's going to be good things to us. Other folks are going to do things and they're going to be focused on us. It's all about me when we're self-centered. And we've got all of these fantasies of things that's going to happen that's going to be good things. We think that all of these things are going to be wonderful that's going to come to pass. And that's where we are when we're self-centered. But here, we're not really focused on anything. Not like that. Our focus is on God. Our focus is on keeping Him at the center of our life. Our focus is on keeping ourselves in His Word, because it can shape us in our lives. In Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 9, tell you what, I've got my pages out of order a little bit here. We want to not read Jeremiah, but Psalms chapter 42 and verse 5. This verse says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." Look, it's saying, hope in God. Don't focus on yourself. Don't have yourself in your own attention. In Psalms chapter 146, verses 3 through 5, this verse says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." This verse, when it says Son of Man, it's not talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about just a normal person. It says, don't have your hope in men, because when he dies, his thoughts and his hopes, they all go to the ground with him. "But happy is he who has the God of Jacob," our God, the Lord God, "as his hope, as his trust." Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't focus on yourself. Trust in God. And this verse makes it so clear that we shouldn't have our own hopes and dreams and trust in ourselves. This verse in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Misplaced hopes, focusing on things that we want, focusing on things that we think need to happen, versus having our hopes and our focus on God. Listen, this is the Apostle Paul and what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. For we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. We know what all Paul went through. He wrote many, many letters. He did a lot of good things for people. He tried to be a good example at all times. We know about how he was shipwrecked and he was bitten by a snake and he was beaten and thrown into jail. And he said, I'm not even going to trust in myself. We've got the sentence of death in ourselves that we would not trust in ourselves, but that we would trust in God. When we're self-centered, we've got all of these false hopes and misplaced hopes, and we're focusing on what we want, and we think other people are supposed to serve us. But when we're God-centered, none of that matters, and we're completely and totally focusing on God. Well, what happens next? Well, you know what happens next. We think that everything's about us. Everybody's supposed to serve us. The world's supposed to revolve around us. Everything that happens is supposed to be to my benefit, right? Well, let's listen to this verse in James, chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. But ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Now we hear people say from time to time, Lord willing, I'm going to do this or that. Or if it's the Lord's will. And it's something that I'm trying to make part of my everyday conversation. My normal speech. That I would say, Lord willing, I'll see you. Instead of just making it like it's going to happen. Maybe we can all develop that mindset. And to acknowledge God in our communications with people every day. Listen to what these folks are doing. They're saying, we're going to go and we're going to buy and sell and we're going to get gain and we're going to do things for ourselves and we're going to build up our own finances. We're going to get money. We're going to do things that's going to benefit us. And then later in the verse, James says, all of this boasting is all evil. You think that you're going to do all these things and you're not acknowledging God and He is really ultimately in control of everything. Wrong expectations toward others, wrong expectations about life, and then what happens? Well, we know what happens. Because even though when we're self-centered, we think everything revolves around us, the reality is, it doesn't. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. The whole world doesn't revolve around us. And so, all of these misplaced hopes, all of these dreams that are the wrong kind of dreams, they don't come true. They don't come true. And so we are disappointed. But here, our focus is on God. Our focus is on what is it that's going to come to pass, knowing that all things are in His control. Listen to these verses. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. All right, so listen close to what he's saying. We've got to understand where he is and what he's saying. Paul is talking about being in bonds. Paul is in jail when he writes this. And he's saying, you know what? I was preaching and teaching and trying to do good, and they put me in jail. Now, he could have, if he had the wrong expectations, he could have been crushed. He could have kept his mouth shut. He could have been a real good prisoner and not done anything to try to teach or anything from that point forward. But that wasn't Paul's mindset. Paul's mindset was, I'm going to keep teaching. I'm going to keep preaching. And he did. And because of that, many people saw him and saw that he wasn't giving up, and their faith was increased by it. They got stronger while Paul was in jail, and they taught the word with more boldness. You see the contrast? You see, if we're self-centered and something bad's happened to us, we fall apart. We're all disappointed. We're crushed. We can't believe it. Here, something bad is happening to Paul, and he says, no, there's something good happening in this. The hand of God is in this. God is protecting me in my life, and He is helping me. And because I'm here, the gospel has been spread further than it would have otherwise. What's wrong? What's wrong with having all these hopes and dreams? James chapter 4 tells us in verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. We're just asking for the wrong things. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Listen to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. These verses are saying, if we ask something, we're keeping His commandments, and we're asking something that's according to His will, we're probably going to receive it. But if we're asking and we're not getting it, it may be that we're asking for the wrong reasons. We're asking for something we don't need. Self-centered, we're focused on ourselves. We've got misplaced hopes, and those hopes don't come true, and we get disappointed. But when we're focused on God, He is the center of our life. He is the center of everything that could happen to us, and we've got our hope and our trust in Him, and we've got the right kind of expectations about life. Well, things didn't go the way we wanted it to. Our heart was broken because our misplaced hopes didn't come true. But you know, it's all about me. I'm the center of my own universe. It's all about me. It's supposed to make me happy. Things are supposed to work to try to please me and suit me. And it's all about me. And what we do is we start to find a new fantasy that would bring us fulfillment, that would make us feel good on the inside, that would complete us. Something else. It might be another person. It might be another hobby. It might be sin. It might be falling into deeper sin. It could be a lot of things that would happen to us. Now let's look at Jeremiah chapter 37 and verse 9. Back in the Old Testament, if you remember, the children of Israel fell away from God. They didn't follow Him as closely as they should. And around 522 B.C., around 780-something B.C., the northern 10 tribes were taken into captivity. But Jerusalem was still left. And about 500 B.C., another group came to take them into captivity. We can read all about this in the Old Testament with the prophets, Ezekiel and Daniel. All of this is happening in their generations and in their lifetime. This verse says, thus saith the Lord, deceive not yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans shall surely depart, for they shall not depart. This verse is saying, now these people, they're surrounded by these Chaldean armies, and they're looking out, and they see them camped there, and these Chaldean armies, they're preparing to come and destroy the city and to take all the people into captivity. And this verse is saying, don't deceive yourself. They're saying that they're going to go away. Don't trick yourself into believing that this bad, terrible thing that's about to happen is not going to come to pass, because it's going to. This verse is saying, don't make yourself a new idol of your heart that you're going to dream after. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Coming up with false hopes, false dreams again. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The idea of being deceived, believing something that's not true. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Don't believe vain thoughts, vain words, even if they're your own. Listen to this verse, James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now we've been talking about being deceived by things that are not right. Listen to what this verse says. This verse says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? How many times do we hear good things and we don't do them? And this verse is saying, when you do that, you are deceiving yourself, because just to hear it only is not Christianity. But to hear it and to embrace it and to have God at the center of your life, this is Christianity. But friends, if we are hearers only, we deceive ourselves to believe something that's not true. Listen back into the Old Testament again. Do you remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was one of the younger of his father's children. He had a lot of older brothers. And Joseph was the favorite. And his dad had given him a coat that had many colors. And his brothers hated him because he was the favorite. And so one day they set a trap, and they take the coat, and they rip the coat, and they pour animal blood on it and tell his dad that Joseph's been killed. But really, they threw him into a pit, and eventually they sell him off into slavery to a foreign nation. Terrible what they did to him. Time passes. By the hand of God, Joseph slowly begins to rise in prominence, in power, and soon becomes second in command in the whole nation. He has great visions of the future, visions of a famine. And because of his position, because of his influence with the ruler, they're able to make great provisions for the future. They're able to put up barns full of food. And this famine hits the land, and it doesn't just hit that country, it hits everybody. And in time, because people are needing food, and they hear that this particular country where Joseph is has food, they start to come to them to receive of their abundance. And then one day, Joseph's brothers come, and his father. And he's reacquainted with them, and it was a great reunion, although they didn't recognize him at first. And so they're all together again, and then time continues to pass, and Joseph's father dies, and then later on he's talking to his brothers in the very end of the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Listen to what he says, because it fits what we're talking about so well. Joseph says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now you see, all this time, all of these bad things happened to Joseph. He was put in a pit, he was sold away from his family, he was in slavery, and then gradually things started to turn around. But he could have just thought it was terrible, it was awful, it would have been just the end of Joseph. But he stayed focused on God. And in the end of his time, as we're hearing about him, sort of later in his life, he looks back to reflect on it, and he says, y'all thought it was terrible, and you meant evil against me to sell me into slavery. But God meant it to be good. Because of what you did, God brought to pass good things, and many people are alive now. You see, he was focused on God. He was not self-centered. He was God-centered in his life. We can read all about that in the pages of Genesis. But do you see the difference between being focused on a dream and making false hopes? Joseph could have thought, well, I'm going to get out of here one day. But he didn't. He stayed focused on God, and because of that, good things came to pass. We know so well Romans 8 and 28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Friends, where is our faith and where is our hope? You see, over here, we don't understand what's going on in life because life happens. And so we start to dream about things that are wrong, false dreams, false hopes. But here, when we're God-centered, we don't understand it. But we just sit back and wait because we have faith and hope that God's in control and that He's taking care of things, and one day we'll look back and we'll understand. And it may not even be in this lifetime, but one day we'll see the hand of God working in our life and we'll understand. It'll be clear. But here, all these folks, false hopes, it just builds. It just builds, and you know what's starting to happen. 1 John 2 and verse 16, "For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." We start to have lusts and desires and hopes for things that are wrong. Starts to build, and then it happens. James chapter 1 and verse 15, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You see, here, we're dreaming and we're hoping for something that's going to give us fulfillment. And at first we just see it. And then we start to reach for it. And we start to try to get our hands around it. And we try to get closer and closer to it. And then we grab onto it. And it's ours. And it's within our grasp. And we think it's supposed to bring us fulfillment and happiness and joy and peace. But it doesn't. Now over here, when we're God-centered, we don't know what's happening in life. We've got great faith and hope, and we're just anticipating that God's doing something good in our lives. Listen to Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now here we're looking to get something. We want to get our hands around it. We want to have it to be ours, and it's going to give us fulfillment. But over here when we're Christ-centered, we're not interested in getting anything. Because we know nothing's going to give us fulfillment in this world. Nothing will give us true fulfillment in this world except to have Jesus Christ at the center of our life. And when He is, friends, and we're not attached to things, then we're able to give it away. We're able to give away of our material possessions, of our money. We're able to give away of our time and our talents. And what happens? Listen to some real poetic verses as we get ready to wrap up our lesson here. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." It's kind of poetic, but what it's saying is, you're going to spend all your money on something that's not going to give you any fulfillment. But what this verse is saying is, come and partake of the Lord without money. And buy goods that will bring us fulfillment that has no price. And let your soul delight itself in the fatness of it. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Vases, that's what a cistern is. You've forsaken living waters. And you try to carve out your own bottle of water, and it's broken, and it can't hold any water. There's a break in the cup, and the more you pour in, the emptier it gets. John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So what happens, friends, when we're here and we're trying to get fulfillment and we're reaching out and we're grabbing onto something, it brings us emptiness. There's no fulfillment in it. None. We're empty. Everything that we thought was going to bring us happiness, it just goes away. And there's no happiness left. But here, when we're Christ-centered, it's everlasting life. It's fountains of living waters that's inside of us. And there's great joy because Christ is the center of our life. And we're trusting in Him. And when life throws us a curveball and we don't understand it, we don't lose our faith. But we continue to be strong because we know He's in control of things. And we keep our faith in Him and it stays strong. And because we're focused on Him, and we're not focused on ourselves, we're able to give to others even in a time when we are facing grief and sorrow and uncertainty, we're still focused on giving, and that brings us joy, which helps us to understand better the need to keep Christ in the center of our life, and the cycle perpetuates itself, and we are always staying focused on Christ. But here, we're heartbroken, and what we thought would bring us fulfillment didn't, and we're self-centered, and it's all about me. And we start looking again for something else that's going to bring us fulfillment. And we start having false hopes again, and we start thinking about other things, whether it's other people, or whether it's other relationships, or whether it's other hobbies, or other sins, or other different types of things, things that are wrong, thoughts that are not focused on God, and this cycle perpetuates itself again, and we stay trapped because we got the wrong expectations. See, if we've got the expectations that everything's about us, then we're always going to stay right here in this self-centered trap. But friends, if we can stay focused that God's the center of all things, and He's the center of our life, then no matter what happens to us, if it's good things, if it's challenging things, He is there in our life, and our faith does not waver. Just like Paul when he was thrown into jail, our faith doesn't waver. Just like Joseph when he was sold into slavery, our faith doesn't waver, and we just anticipate God bringing to pass something good in our life because we know that that's what His plan is. So where do we stand today? Are we stuck in a trap of selfishness, of self-centeredness? Well, friends, are we truly focused on God the way that we should be? If sin separates us from God today, then let's try to make things right while we have the opportunity. Jesus Christ died, He was buried, and He rose again. And in that same fashion, friends, when we believe on Him and we know that He can save our sins, then we can be baptized. Our sins can be forgiven. We'll rise in newness of life. From that point forward, we're a new creature. A new creature that has to strive to put Christ at the center of our life. And if we can keep Him there, friends, we will grow. And we'll grow stronger. But if we're continually self-centered, then we may not grow. We have opportunities then, friends, to ask for forgiveness, to repent, to ask others to pray for us that we might be stronger. And today we have opportunity for either of these two circumstances. But we also have opportunity for all of us to examine our lives, because most likely we all have a little bit of selfishness in us. Most likely we all have some self-centered qualities to us. It might not be at home, but it might be at work. Or it might be that it is at home. Or it might be that it's with certain situations. We're a little bit self-centered and we want to be a little bit self-indulgent. We all need to work on this so that we can put God at the center of our lives in all ways. It's my prayer that just as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, that we would seek first the kingdom of heaven. It's my prayer that that would be our goal and our ambition, truly from the heart. If any desires the services of the church, please let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.
Careless soul, why